Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Appliance Advisors with Yale Appliance. I'm Francesco, joined by Dennis McDonald. How are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm doing great, friend. How are you doing?
Very good. So I think we have a pretty cool category to discuss here today, one that we're pretty excited about, and I hope the audience is too. Today, you know, it's one of those categories that's a little maybe under-discussed, but that we really see in kitchens all the time and really come across a lot of questions, and that's going to be under-counter refrigeration. And all different types of under-counter refrigeration, from beverage centers to wine centers, ice makers, and we're really going to dive deep into that today. How's that sound?
Sounds great. I mean, I like these deeper dives for customers. People want a little more content. This is a great topic to discuss because, frankly, it's one of our, probably unfortunately, one of our biggest return categories, because I think it gets lost in translation, the details a lot of times, or what people are actually buying. So that's great. And as part of these deeper dives, Fran, one of the things I want to bring up now, and I'll bring it up again, we have been having countless people every time we go on air asking questions offline about the fact of, do we consult? Meaning they're outside of our area or even inside our area. And would we, for a fee, consult one-to-one with them or their team, whether it's their architect, designer, builder, so on and so forth. And, you know, at first, maybe we didn't think so much, but there's so many people asking. I think it really, it's something that we want to explore. You know, at the end of the day, we want to be a resource to all things appliances, people in our market and outside of our market, because as you ask great questions, we learn and we're able to understand the customers better and what everyone's really looking for. And that's the end game here, a more educated consumer, and kind of make this thing of appliances that can seem dreary to some kind of exciting because it's the heart of your kitchen. So if you're one of those folks that at the end of this, you know, something about consulting would interest you, we'd love to grab your email. Let us know that you'd be interested. We may reach out to you, or actually we will reach out to you, maybe have a deeper dive with you. And as part of answering those questions for us, we'll help answer some of those questions for you on your project. So maybe you'll get a free consult, but help us understand if that's something people really want, and if there's value in it. But with that, why don't we get into this category right now of under-counter refrigeration, which is fitting because it's hot as heck out. And, you know, cool beverages and ice sound cool.
No question. Very good. So we'll start, too, really kind of what are the different types of under-counter refrigeration? You know, there is a lot out there, and it can definitely get confusing. So let's just lead off with what are the different types that you see out there and the most common types?
Sure. And this is just some of them, and we're going to get deeper dive into more specific. But, you know, starting really on the left with our most popular under-counter type of item. And that's a beverage center. What do we mean by beverage center? We mean mixed use. It can hold bottles of beer, Poland Spring bottles, or your soda water. Mm-hmm. It can hold, many of them can hold up to a 16-inch deli tray. It can store food. So really, and some, in this case, look, it's even holding produce. So, you know, really that mixed use. And that's how a lot of people use these. They want to take the curse off the main fridge. That's a mixed use beverage center. The next one we're looking at there would be refrigerators and/ refrigerator draws. You know, the concept of an all-in-one refrigerator that does more of just that, just really intended on a large front of more storing food, kind of as a main layout focus. And we'll dive into that. Then we get into wine preservation. Who doesn't like wine? Mm-hmm. And kind of the nuances there, sizes and how these actually work and why you maybe spend a bit more for one versus the other. And then finally, we'll wrap up with ice makers. You know, the thing that a lot of people really like, misunderstand, you know, whether it's application based or installation based. And, you know, there again, they don't think quite as much about actually the ice cube. So we're literally going to get down to what ice cube seems to make sense for you. So that's kind of overarching for us today.
All right. Very good. So we're going to start, like you said, with really the most common type that's out there, and that's beverage centers. You know, what are the common sizes on beverage centers, the styles? What are the benefits of a beverage center maybe over some of these other options that are available?
Yeah. So when we talk about beverage centers, the most common, what we consider standard sizes, and by standard, we mean they fit into standard cabinet layouts. So the cabinets actually, the way they're designed, historically match well with these two sizes. And that's 15 inch, which is what you're seeing to the left. Granted, it's an ice maker, but it's 15 inches. And then to the far right, you're seeing an item that is 24 inches. So 15 and 24. Why would someone do one versus the other? Let's just start off here. Historically, you'd always want to go bigger if you could, okay? You're always struggling with the yin and yang of enough cabinet space and maybe refrigeration space, but the net cost to you between a 15 and a 24-inch unit is negligible. It's more often what you can fit in the cabinet layout. So if all things are equal and anything's possible, people tend to go to a 24-inch size if possible. Caveat here, when we're talking about undercounter refrigeration, all of us have been to box stores. We've all been to Home Depot, Lowe's, Best Buy, all these types of places. And invariably, when you're at the checkout counter, what do you see stacked up? Many times you see these little wine coolers or these little undercounter units that we're talking about, seem to be talking about today. Buyer beware. It's not to scare you, but it's to understand those are not 99% of the time a quality product, generally built overseas, less quality, trying to hit a price point for the box stores. But moreover, and more importantly, the sizing is not 15 or 24, as we talked about. What does that mean to you? It means if you design around this and are able to make, and your cabinet person is able to make it work around this thing, okay? Understand these are fly-by-night overseas companies, and there's no, it doesn't follow the industry standard for sizing. So if you customize around it and these die, which many times they do, which we'll get into, you have a hole that you cannot fit anything else into. So that's the box store problem. They're teasing you with a price point. It looks too good to be true. It probably is. Final caveat there is when you're looking at anything under counter and it is in one of these or these online retailers, you know, they're trying, they're not telling you how weak the compressor is. And why would you care about that, Dennis? All right, a compressor, what does that mean to me? Really what it means is, hey, the idea of this is to keep things cool, right? In some form or fashion, all of them. And with undercounter units, they're a small space. And when they get used many times is when you're entertaining or when you need them to work for you, there's a lot of use of that unit. If the compressor is weak and it has to really try to replace that cold air that quickly goes out of there every time someone's in and out of it, well, maybe you'll get a cold beverage the first time you open it, but your guests or your friends 10 minutes later are getting warm beverages because it can't keep up with demand. Second to that, it's very loud because it's having to try to work. You know, imagine underpowered engine trying to move a car. You really hear it revving. So it's loud and noisy. And moreover, it's just outworking its capacity, which leads to it dying very, very quickly. The final piece there is when you look at any of these things that are built underneath, whether we're talking about drawers or we're talking about ice makers, they are made to have cabinets around them in most cases. The ones we sell are made to breathe from the very front down at the toe kicks. Many of the ones, again, that you find online for less expense or in these box stores or internet players, they breathe from the rear. So imagine that you're pushing this unit in and you're suffocating it the first time you do. It's encapsulated and it can't replace the air. It overheats and it dies very, very quickly. So we'll cover this now and it'll hit every other topic. So remember some of those, you know, buyer beware type things. But that's, we fall back on the first question you asked me again, which is sizing, which is 15 and 24 should be the two sizes you're looking for.
Absolutely. And just that, you know, like you said, these beverage centers are so beneficial because all of us today, you know, the refrigerators, it doesn't take much for those to get really loaded up and, you know, you have no room. And I can even speak from experience, you know, even in a full depth fridge, when you have kids and there's water and there's beer and there's different things, you know, all the seltzers that everybody's drinking nowadays, you know, it really takes up a lot of room in the fridge and that really kind of saves it for you. And like you said, as opposed to opening up the main refrigerator constantly, you know, you have this separate section that's a little bit more accessible even for kids or guests or anything like that. It really, really helps. Kind of, we always talk about, you know, how does the kitchen flow? This is really something that helps make your kitchen flow and kind of makes it a little bit less crowded when you're working in the kitchen as well.
Absolutely. Fran, you're bringing tears to my eyes. If I was to consult for you or you were to consult for a customer and they said, what's the one thing that can really help alleviate a kitchen? And you hear me say it time and time again, kitchens function 350 days of the year. It's a few holidays or a few parties you have, or when you have some guests in your home, that when you try to entertain and multiple people are hovered in that kitchen space where they hang out. Moreover, now when we have islands and kitchens and everything else, so this becomes a central focal point of the space and you're trying to cook or entertain. If you have everyone go into that main refrigerator, then your triangle, your cooking functioning triangle is awry. You have a lot of people back behind the island. We want to, these are beautiful, and this is a perfect layout. I would imagine, I don't know this exact one, but that kitchen is probably just off of this. But now if whether it's kids or adults and you're entertaining and they want to get a beverage during your party or appetizers, many of these, like we said, can hold food. These are glass trays, most of them. Go over there and grab your drink and stay the heck out of the kitchen. I mean, that's what we'd be screaming, you know? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great setup here in this picture.
And then just kind of style-wise, and this kind of goes for really a lot of the other options, you know, what are the styles? So there's stainless steel, there's panel ready, like you find in a lot of other appliances as well. So like you see here, you know, you have some options with the glass front to have a kind of stainless trim around there. You can hide it within your kitchen and match your cabinetry. So just like a full built-in refrigerator or a dishwasher or something like that, those will still give you that option, whether it's a wine center, beverage center, refrigerator drawers, and even ice makers as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting there. We're really saying to ourselves, hey, listen, here's where we go. You know, once you, I'd always say start at the top. You know, what size are you thinking, 15 or 24? Once we get that nailed, then the next question is, to your point, what do I want this to look like? Or where is it going in the kitchen? In this application we're looking at right there, you know, you'd notice on the far right, the beverage cooler, that the handle's on the left and the hinges on the right. So we'd start thinking about door hinges. Which way does it need to open? Do you want to see what's inside the unit? Do you want it to be glass? 95% of people do, because they can be lit, and many of them can be lit with multiple different colors, these LED lights inside that they have, most of them now, that can go red and blue and amber and all these different colors. But most people want to have it lit. Some people say they want a solid panel on it and don't want to see it at all. Maybe that's solid stainless steel, or some people want to put a solid wood panel on it, not quite as popular. And in this picture here, we're looking at one that has a wood trim, okay? So most common is what you're looking at here, either a wood trim or that same wood trim area would be stainless steel out of the box, ready to go. Stainless steel out of the box, ready to go, still 70% of what you sell. 30% would be a panel. Your cost to buy one versus the other, meaning if you bought one that was pre-finished with a stainless steel trim and a glass front like you see, versus one that was a glass front and required you to have your cabinet person make the wood surround, the cost difference to you, again, isn't a big savings at the cost of the unit. The hidden cost may be the cost of the cabinet person to produce. But as you look right here, it really looks like a piece of furniture. It's kind of a nice application. So those are the things you're thinking about. What do we want it to look like? And then we'd get to what do we really want to do with this? Do we want to keep wine in it? In this picture, hard to see, but that top shelf is wine, okay? Or do we want to stand up bottles of beer or bottles of water? Do we want to make sure that it can hold a deli tray or something bigger like that? Is this going to actually hold appetizers in your mind to take some of that space curse off the main fridge in the kitchen? Do you want it to have a produce bin like this one? So those are some of the things you're starting to narrow down. And a good appliance store will do that exploration with you to really make sure that you're making a good buying decision. But those would be some of the things to think about ahead of time.
All right, that's great. Now, the next category, and this is where, you know, there could definitely be some confusion, is under-counter refrigerator. What's the difference between an under-counter refrigerator and an under-counter beverage center? Because they can look very similar.
Yeah, we're talking about the evolution of under-counter. I mean, years ago, that's what your option was, right? I mean, there have been refrigerator drawers, which we'll talk about later, for a long time. For a longest time, very, very cost prohibitive. So we saw kind of a surge of this, what we would call an under-counter refrigerator. Think of it just like that. I'm going to keep it as basic as I can. Really a glorified dorm refrigerator back to the college days. I mean, kind of that's what the interior looks like. So while people did them, they were more done in the 80s and 90s. And as we move forward now, you're seeing a lot more units that are this mixed beverage unit, definitely the most popular you sell. But we've seen a resurge again with drawer units, okay? And this is not a plug for Yale, but is our customers, drawers are really nice. They offer some solutions if door swings are a problem and whatnot. In this example here, they offer solutions. We have a couple of private label models we use that help to hit a price point that keep it more cost effective and still have a great warranty. You're looking right here. We'll slide into that. These drawers here are, this is from a brand called Signature Kitchen Suites. Really kind of cool. This is a convertible draw. What do I mean, Fran? I mean, this can be refrigerator or freezer. It's your choice. And it's your choice as you live with this unit over the course. You can actually convert it as you need it. So really kind of cool. Now, how often do people do that? You're not doing that daily, but there could be a holiday coming up or something special you do that might be really beneficial. We see some draws like you're looking at here that have a refrigerator upper and a freezer below. Some have a freezer below with an ice maker. So really, you know, again, as we did deeper dives with you, we'd tell you to consider certain parts of that. You know, the compressor for most of these units are housed, as you can see here in the toe kick, you know, they're housed in that lower draw. So many times, understand that's generally where, if this were a combination unit, where a freezer would be. And, you know, you want to look at the usable space, but those are all considerations. So these drawers have really evolved into multi-use many times. Or just an all refrigerator. We see people put things like gallons of milk in them, you know, in them. Bigger things that might take up space in the main fridge mm-hmm. could be used. People put these units right in their kitchen. It's a very popular thing to do. We could put a cabinet front on this. So it just looks like the cabinet is left or right. So if someone went in the kitchen, you wouldn't know that that was a refrigerator unless you told them it was, you know, they'd have mm-hmm. to open it to find out for themselves. So some really good flexible options there. And then as well, and we'll get back to this, but when we talk about this being a freezer, there's some units, again, we're talking about signature kitchen suites. Today, they have a combination draw that can be fridge or freezer. They also have a unit that is all freezer, and pretty cool for them. Right now, first iteration of it's just coming out, will have Kraft Ice, those big, nice, you know, sexy drink balls that everyone talks about yeah. in their glasses for like a really nice cocktail. As well, it will also make a pyramid style or I guess a hexagon style cube, more of a barrel cube as well. So two types of ice makers in the new signature kitchen suite model. And then while we don't show it up today, even Yale has another model that just hits an awesome price point. All refrigerator can be paneled or stainless, so on and so forth. So a lot of great options, a lot of great brands out there.
Great. And sizes here. So refrigerator drawers can come in a few different sizes, maybe more so than a beverage center or a wine cooler as well. Yep. So there you kind of might see more of a 24. There's some brands that have a 30 or even a 36 inch width when it comes to refrigerator drawers.
Yeah. 24, 27. Again, generally 3 inch increments, but it really goes like this: 24, 27, 30. And then Fisher Paykel has a unique all-in-one draw, a very large draw that's 36 inches wide. And it's combination. So it can be both fridge, freezer. So, you know, again, while, like I said, while they were cost prohibitive way back then, we've really found people focusing on the heart of the kitchen, and with islands going in, it opens up other places in our kitchens to put these units. And therein, there's been more innovation and more competition, which helps the consumer have more price options and really options that really suit them.
All right. So we do have a question from Trish, and this kind of is really good to kind of help lead us to wine centers as well. So it says, you know, does beverage centers have low temperature limits? And that is kind of a big difference as well between, you know, wine
Trish,
centers and beverage.
Yes. Trish, again, great question. And it's one that I probably should have brought up earlier when we were talking about the box store online inexpensive units. Really research the temperature range these can go to. Do you realize many of them can't get much below 40 degrees, right? So I don't know, does anyone have a 40 degree beer or a 40 degree soda or even a bottle of water? Not very refreshing. So temperature range is really, really important. Most of them will go somewhere around 33, 35, and they'll go as high in some cases as 50. You know, why would it go to 50? Because some of these people will store wine in them, put a little bit more wine in them, you know, it gives you that flexibility if you wanted to try to use it that way. But yes, it definitely has a temperature range. And while we're here, we are going to talk, Thomas, Frank asked some good questions, but those will come up as we get closer to actually talking about ice makers, but I'll answer that question for him as well.
All right. Excellent. And just real quick too, kind of as we go to wine, there is in beverage centers, there is an option for a dual zone beverage center. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So a dual zone beverage center just means that you could actually maybe have wine stored up top. And that's something honestly that, I mean, listen, there's Yale has just innovated this. And it was important because understand this, beverage centers are trying to do a lot of things. We said that they might be able to hold wine. They could hold food. They could keep beer cold, and all of this in a 34 or 36 inch under the cabinet height, you know, 34 really is the height generally, 33 and a quarter. But the point I'm saying is it's a small space. So how can it be all these amazing things? And the reality of it is it works very well to keep things cold, and it's okay for wine in a short-term storage solution, right? Because true wine storage would never really want to be stored for a long period of time. If it was an important bottle of wine to you, I would tell you not to put it in a beverage center if you don't intend to drink it very quickly. But that is why we work to develop this two-zone unit that actually can keep wine stored ideally at the temperature you want with its own thermostat made to do that. And then the unit below can keep your beverages really ice cold like you want them to, or your food. So really a cool concept, we think. I mean, we're passionate about that. We think it kind of solved the idea of really doing a lot in one unit, but doing it well, as opposed to just being able to say you can do it.
All right, very good. So next category, now we're going to jump into wine, and let's talk about wine centers. What are some of the differences there? What are the options there, styles, things like that? What to look for in a wine center?
Yep. So really, really a couple of ways to go. The main two ways would be an all one wine, all one temperature zone wine center. And the premise there is cold air sinks, warm air rises. You would set it to one temperature, and generally you would set your, you know, your whites or those types of wines closer to the bottom and your reds to the top. Again, that's a small amount of space. People will say you can get roughly a 10 degree difference top to bottom. In our tests, I'm going to tell you it's probably not quite that way, which leads me to the type we're looking at in front of right now. So here's what we tell people. All-in-one, so if it was an all-in-one wine center, meaning it looks just the way it looks right here, but you only have one temperature to store, we would say that's great to store, but we would say you really want to focus on only using that if it's red wine only or white wine only, because then you could set the temperature appropriate to that type of wine. If it were a two-zone unit, which is what we're looking at here, a little hard to look at, but if you look straight ahead, you'll kind of see, you can see a control panel there. And what that's doing is that's separating the top from the bottom to ideally store white or red. Many times, if you actually really study wine storage, they're stored at a similar temperature, but you drink one a little warmer or cooler than you'd actually store it at. So that, you know, there's a bunch of ways to use it. It's really up to you. So some people may load this with all red, and the top may be for their drinking, and the bottom may be for their longer term storage with two different set times as well. The other thing we talk about with undercounter wine would be UV lighting. You know, many of these block light can certainly affect wine. So many of the panes of glass, again, these less expensive online models or Home Depot box store models do not have any. They're not trying to really store your wine. They look the part. They're not really. So if you're going to load that thing up with a bunch of wine, you know, if you're going to put $300 of wine in there for a unit you paid $299 for, well, boy, you're already in a losing proposition because it's not going to hold it very long unless you drink a lot of wine. One of these units will generally store about 50 bottles of wine. It depends, 40 to 50 bottles, depending on the manufacturer, but that's generally what it will store. So we talked about UV temperature, UV glass that will block those rays. Second to that would be vibration. Many of these are vibration, so you don't feel a lot of vibration. Because again, that mixing affects the tannins and everything that's in the air if it's vibrating a lot. So you want anti-vibration. And then we talk about hinging, and we're going to talk about that as an undercounter concept. Just in general, it comes up. Look at how these are installed, all right? So if you're putting panels on them, do you want it to be totally flush with your cabinets? Everyone's going to say, of course, I want it to look like a cabinet. Okay, that's a simple request, but not always a simple execution, because you want to make sure, again, that they have articulating hinges or a hinge that will pivot within itself so that it can be flush to the cabinets left or right. Okay, we would guide you. A great appliance store would guide you. They're certainly out there, but it's something to consider. And even more so, some people just want their stainless steel model to be totally flush and butt up left or right to the cabinets. There again, you want that articulating style hinge. It's something to think about.
Okay. So next category, we're going to talk about ice makers. And boy, are people passionate about the type of ice they use. So let's dive deep into ice makers here. And first, let's start with the different types of ice.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about ice for a minute. I'll never forget it. You know, as an appliance manager, friend, you can remember these. We have so many amazing customers. And honestly, this was a great customer. And honestly, it was something for us to learn. But, you know, this gentleman was really into his ice. Okay, he had quite the party room here. But he had three very expensive ice makers. And the question always for ice makers is almost in the top couple is, do they make a quiet one? Let me please record this, play it over and over again in your head. If you're out shopping outside of our market and anyone ever tells you otherwise, you call me immediately and I will talk to them over the phone for you and yell at them. There is no such thing as a quiet ice maker. These units need to harvest ice and it drops the ice into a bin. Lots of little noises, right? So that was the issue we talked about. This gentleman, it wasn't so much the noise. It was then the type of cube. And we're looking here at a few of the styles. Cube ice, crescent ice. Look, there's Trish. Nugget ice melts too quick. So Trish, I'm going to help you right here. Imagine this. Ready? I'm going to blow your mind. So there's cube ice, crescent ice, hex ice. Now there's this thing way to the right. Nugget ice, or we call it sonic ice, that chewable ice. You know, that maybe you've I can only remember when my wife had kids and we're in the hospital. I'm drinking ginger ale more than I probably should have on a sugar high trying to stay up. And I got to tell you, I love that chewable ice. But it really is a personal preference. Mm-hmm. Some people, if you drink scotch or something on the rocks or a mixed cocktail, to Trish's point, some of these small nugget ice or crescent ice or even cube ice, they might want a big hexagon barrel. Mm-hmm. Or we talked about some of these units. There's certain types of ice makers out there that can make these big craft style round balls of ice. So what did Yale do? That one gentleman that was so upset with his three expensive ice makers that we took back for him because he was a great customer, because at the end of the day, we didn't think about this ourselves. We talked all about how this ice maker would work and it was working great, but man, the ice cube was awful for his drinks. So what do? We put him live in our showroom. So when we come in the showroom and you sit down and you say you want an ice maker, what do? We sit you down and we say, all right, let's go have a nice glass of filtered water and we're going to go test cubes. The first thing we'd start at, you could have this amazing kitchen, is we are going to have you walk around with a glass of water and try the ice cubes. Because right then and there, you're quickly going to nail down which one you like. Because to Patricia's point, you might rule out four or five of them. And if it's not brought up in the sales pitch, all ice isn't created equal, right? So that's number one. Number two is we talked about noise and they're loud. Number three, there's a thing called gravity-fed ice makers and pump ice makers that have pumps. What's the difference? Gravity is just that. It means there is no pump. It's hoping that your plumbing and your drain follow in a downward fashion to wherever it expels the house or into the drain into the house. Now, so many times contractors, designers, folks will say, oh yeah, it's going downhill. Invariably, water doesn't like to necessarily always listen to the rules, okay? And when it backs up, okay, what does it do? It can leak, it can flood, it can turn into a brick. So at Yale, we will not, as well, gravity ice makers do not produce as much ice in a 24-hour period, and their ice is cloudy, okay? It doesn't do anything with the contaminants. It is really an inexpensive. So what do people say? They say this. They say, well, it doesn't work right. They say, I don't get enough ice production. The ice is cloudy. It doesn't taste right. Or they many times say it's wet. It's slimy. And you know why it is? Because it's not pumping the excess water out of the unit. Therefore, we'll only sell models with a pump. And some people, you know, and once you educate consumers, they get it, because people that want to buy this really want to make sure it's the right thing. So that's what we really pay attention to. And we focus on the fact that it's a pump. What does the pump do? The pump means if any water backs into it, it shuts the ice off the water coming into the unit, helps with flooding. By pushing that water out, you're going to get a clear ice cube. You're going to get 3-4 times the production of ice. You get more options of style of ice. So I'm going to tell you, wherever you buy one, you want a pump ice maker. If you're going to go all in and buy it, you should. Now, earlier, I think it was Thomas had asked the question of, is there an advantageous to a dedicated ice maker? Yes, all the things I just spoke about. Pump, clear ice, production. I mean, the production in an ice maker, trying to do it in also be a freezer and all these other things, you might get 5 pounds of ice every 24 hours in an ideal situation. These units are made to chunk and produce major amounts of ice. One brand, True, is an ice maker that's out there right now. It's definitely at the top of the category, but you know, 85 pounds of ice with 100 degree ambient temperature in a room. I mean, that's almost basically sitting outside raw in your deck. Can be indoors, outdoors. It has the functionality via your phone or through the unit itself. You can turn it so that if it's in a room where between 5 to 9 at night, you're going to be having friends over, or that's where you sit and you maybe watch TV or read a book or have dinner, you can actually shut down its production. So it will invariably become more quiet during those hours that you want it. Now, it's not producing the ice at the rate that it normally would, but good Lord, if you're going through 85 pounds of ice every 24 hours, whew, that's quite a party, and you probably don't care if it's so quiet anyway. It's probably a good party. So that's kind of the idea there. Best brands, Trisha asked, listen, you know, we saw a lot of really, you know, 3 or 4 brands. Okay. We sell a lot of our own brand. We have our own brand. We like it. It's a great price point. It's a hex cube. It has all the high-end features. We sell a lot of it. We sell a Sub-Zero, has a nice ice maker, not made by them, but it's a good ice maker. GE Monogram, or GE, actually has a good ice maker that we're just getting into now, that we think it actually is the same producer as Sub-Zero for a lot less money. And then as well, there's True kind of at the tops in terms of just raw production, but you're also going to pay for that. So, you know, I think on the value side, definitely our own, and it's good quality with value. I think in the middle, as good as Sub-Zero and whatnot, I think it certainly could be this new GE that's out there with a variety of handles. And then at the tops, probably True. And by tops, we just mean raw productivity for the really hardcore person that wants a lot of ice. Okay.
And then sizing on ice makers, really, you know, it's kind of one size. They're typically just only a 15-inch size. That's the standard size. That's really the only size with ice makers when you see a built-in ice maker like that.
Yeah, KitchenAid had an 18-inch out there for a while, and it may even still exist. I mean, honestly, in my 20 years, I don't know how often I've sold them. You know, maybe I've sold it once. I mean, again, we're always going to tell you when all possible, you want to stick within the standard sizes, because we want you, God forbid, these don't last forever. If something to go wrong, you have a beautiful kitchen, you still have an opportunity to replace something in and out.
And speaking of that, if we're talking ice makers, we would absolutely be remiss if we don't talk about maintenance of ice makers.
Yeah, ice makers break. Do they break, Fran? Do ice makers break?
Absolutely.
Why do they break, Fran? Tell me. Make me happy.
A lot of plastic parts, chunking ice, a lot of room for error there. And
what's the major? The major is everyone is so excited to drink from the ice, but what don't they do? They don't maintain it. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? These need to be maintained. Scale builds up on it very, very quickly. All of them have some type of descaling cleaning process that needs to happen. Again, you're better. Well, I don't know that anyone else does it in the country, but I mean, for us, again, we have a lot of customers that buy ice makers. We have a service that we provide. It's an annual fee, and we'll come out every 6 months. We'll change the filters. We'll bring the descaling solution. We're going to run it through the descaling. We're going to maintain it. We don't promise it will never break. We can't say that, because things do happen, right? A lot of plastic parts, but we know that it will break if you're not maintaining it very routinely and religiously. And classically, people don't, because what they do is they use it and then they go away and they don't use it for a month, and then they use it again and then they don't. So you really got to understand how these work. People that buy them, they're great, but there is absolutely some maintenance to these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you kind of follow the use and care guide. It spells it all out there for you. It's not like it's anything that's extremely difficult. It's just a matter of doing it and staying on top of it, for sure. Now, for the people that maybe can't put in a built-in ice maker, or, you know, it's too difficult to do now, they want something different, there is a pretty cool little product out there, and that's the GE countertop ice maker.
Yeah, this is called the Opal. The Opal ice maker, really kind of cool, has its own filter. We use this in the showrooms. Mm-hmm. People are welcome to we offer, you know, obviously, you know, so nice of us, right? A complimentary, nice glass of filtered water, but we do. And it's really is a cool thing. Inexpensive, sits on your counter, Trish may not love it, but it does make that nugget chewable ice. And, you know, if it's something like soda, it's probably fine if you're in and out of it or water. But it's great. It's filtered. It produces a nice amount of ice. You know, certainly not going to say you're going to, unless you're bagging it, you're not probably going to, you know, run a large party with it. But for day in, day out, an easy unit, sits on your counter, decent looking, high quality ice at a really inexpensive price. This is kind of a really cool unit. We're selling quite a few of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's going to wrap it up for
us. Hold on, Fran. We can't wrap this up. Karen K. asked about Gaggenau or Sub-Zero refrigeration. Karen, Gaggenau does not make refrigeration. Bosch, Thermador, and Gaggenau are all one in the same. All right? Same as Miele and everyone else. You know, every manufacturer will claim, but Thermador, or that what they call the BSH company, owns all three of those brands. There are some uniques, be it warranty, be it stainless interiors, a few uniques, but the guts, the core, the body, it is a Thermador. It is a Bosch at its core guts. It is a Miele at its core guts. That said, we do love Gaggenau. We sell a lot of it. But as much many times, you know, people are gravitate to the interior finish or other features of the warranty, things like that. Sub-Zero, good refrigerator, very different. You'd want to look at the layout differences. You know, Gaggenau is going to have gallon storage on the doors where Sub-Zero will not. So we'd get more into a lot of the usability and how you want to use it. Both good quality units for sure. It's probably going to come down as much to installation. You know, some of the Gaggenaus can install a little tighter into cabinets today on certain models, or may have a little more broad selection of columns, or, you know, it would really, I'd want to do a deeper dive and answer some more questions for you, but both good units.
All right. Excellent. And Dennis, you want to mention one more time, kind of what we talked about at the top of the show here about the consulting and some of the options?
Yeah. As many folks know, you know, our intent when we originally did this was to continue to challenge ourselves to understand the questions that people are asking in and out of market, to educate them to appliances. I mean, that's really it, right? If we're just selling appliances every day, it can be kind of boring. If you let it. And this is one way for us to continue to stay in our game, understand that. And like Trish is asking, when is Yale moving down to Nashville or Atlanta? We'd love to. The owner's sister's down at Nashville, as he would say, probably the greatest city on earth. But, you know, having said all that, we have been asked a lot recently about the fact of, would we consult for a fee, or would we consult for people? We want to do a deeper dive for that. Why would we want to consult for you is because, as well, we want to organically through search have people understand that we're serious about this. You know, our learning helps you out of market, but helps us in market. So if you're somebody that would even be somebody that would say, wow, I might pay for a service like that. We're certainly not going to charge it, but we'd like to maybe grab your information, or just we can check your email right through there. And reach out to you and ask you some more exploratory questions. And as part of that, for doing it, if that's something you truly ever be interested in, helping us learn about what that might look like, we'd also be happy to answer any more appliance questions you have at the same time. So if that's something you're interested in, you can always email us. And we'd love to really explore that a bit more with you.
Excellent. And Dennis, you kind of threw it out there earlier, but, you know, just wanted to mention this. Dennis has just crossed his 20 years with
Yale Appliance. Yeah, that wasn't a prompt for me to do that.
Congratulations, Dennis.
You know, listen, yeah, it's been 20 years of appliances this month. And, you know, it's been an actually amazing, amazing journey. Great company. We've been in business 100 years coming up next year. But, you know, in the 20 years I've been here, the growth has been amazing. Such an amazing team. And honestly, you know, things like this are really great because, you know, if I remember saying this to Steven, the boss, my boss and owner at the time, I remember saying to him, gosh, I don't know if I can just sit here and sling appliances. I don't want to work at Sears. You know, I felt like I had done maybe a little bit more to that point when I was talking to him about coming on board and what it might look like. And I got to tell you, he said, listen, you know, this is what you make of it. We sell lifestyles. We sell solutions to people truly. And we're talking to great customers about exciting projects. And 20 years later, still feels the same way. So
great. Well, thank you. And I hope everyone enjoyed today's show. We always appreciate all the feedback. We hope more specifically that we did ice justice today. And we kind of informed you a little bit on some of the different types out there. And again, thanks for joining us. And we hope you join us next Thursday at 4:00. Thanks as always, Dennis.
Excellent. Thanks, Fran. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you again.
you.